since 76 years. I mean, maybe you just mentioned that that Blinken would says that in a few days, you know, the negotiations would start again. I mean, why don't you say the same things about sending the weapons to Israel? Why don't you, in a few days we will try and send the Israelis some new weapons? Why don't you take your time and think about what these weapons are going to do? Why does it take time to resume negotiations and force the Israelis to stop their killing of my people? Why does it take time? Why is it difficult to stop this, but it's easy to send more and more weapons? Just leave us alone.
Your choice of a last poem to share with our audience around the world. Would you like to share The Moon, or Right or Left, or Under the Rubble?
So this poem, Under the Rubble, was written after October 7th. Under the rubble, she slept on her bed, never woke up again. Her bed has become her grave, a tomb beneath the ceiling of her room, the ceiling a cenotaph. No name, no year of birth, no year of death, no epitaph. Only blood and a smashed picture frame in ruin next to her. In Jabalia camp, a mother collects her daughter's flesh in a piggy bank, hoping to buy her a plot on a river in a faraway land. A group of mute people were talking sign. When a bomb fell, they fell silent. It rained again last night. The new plant looked for an umbrella in the garage. The bombing got intense, and our house looked for a shelter in the neighborhood. I leave the door to my room open so the words in my books, the titles and names of authors and publishers could flee when they hear the bombs. I became homeless once, but the rubble of my city covered the streets. They could not find a stretcher to carry your body. They put you on a wooden door they found under the rubble. Your neighbors, a moving wall. The scars on our children's faces will look for you. Our children's amputated legs will run after you. He left the house to buy some bread for his kids. News of his death made it home, but not the bread. No bread. Death sits to eat whoever remains of the kids. No need for a table. No need for bread. A father wakes up at night, sees the random colors on the walls drawn by his four-year-old daughter. The colors are about 4 feet high. Next year they would be five. But the painter has died in an airstrike. There are no colors anymore. There are no walls. I changed the order of my books on the shelves. 2 days later, the war broke out. Beware of changing the order of your books. What are you thinking? What thinking? What you? You? Is there still you? You there? Where should people go? Should they build a big ladder and go up? But heaven has been blocked by the drones and F-16s and the smoke of death. My son asks me whether, when we return to Gaza, I could get him a puppy. I say, I promise, if we can find any. I ask my son if he wishes to become a pilot when he grows up. He says he won't wish to drop bombs on people and houses. When we die, our souls leave our bodies, take with them everything they loved in our bedrooms, the perfume bottles, the makeup, the necklaces, and the pens. In Gaza, our bodies and rooms get crushed. Nothing remains for the soul. Even our souls, they get stuck under the rubble for weeks.
The Palestinian poet Mosab Abu Toha. His collection of poetry is Forest of Noise. He writes for The New Yorker magazine. He's written for The New York Times and more. When we come back, Namante Nenkimo an indigenous leader from the Guarani Nation in the Amazon rainforest of Ecuador. Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In this holiday special, we turn now to Namante Nenkimo, an indigenous leader from the Guarani Nation in the Amazon rainforest in Ecuador. Last year, she helped win passage of a referendum in Ecuador to block oil drilling in the Amazon rainforest's Yasuni Park. But now, Ecuador's president, Daniel Noboa, is pushing for oil drilling to continue, saying it's needed to help finance the government's war against drug cartels. Environmental activists and indigenous peoples fear their victory to keep the oil in the soil could be overturned. Namante Nenkimo co-founded Amazon Frontlines and the Cebo Alliance. In June, she wrote an article for The Guardian headlined, "Ecuador's president won't give up on oil drilling in the Amazon. We plan to stop him again." Namante also recently published a memoir titled, "We Will Be Jaguars, a Memoir of My People." She came into our Democracy Now! Studio in September, along with her co-author and partner, Mitch Anderson, who's the founder and executive director of Amazon Frontlines. He's long worked with indigenous nations in the Amazon to defend their rights. I began by asking Namante Nenkimo to introduce herself and to talk about the indigenous nation she's from and the land where she lives, in the Amazon, in Ecuador.
Buenos días a todos, a todos. Mi nombre es Namante Nenkimo. Soy mujer Guarani.
Good morning to all of you. My name is Namante Nenkimo. I am a Guarani woman, leader, mother, who comes from the Guarani territory of Pastaza in Ecuador. All women, in general, Amazonian women, are at the front lines of defense, giving our lives, because we women are more considerate and we worry about our sons and daughters, so that our daughters can have their living space, water, land, knowledge, values, plants, animals, so that we can live well, freely, and with dignity. Now our territory is threatened every day. Why should we as women be threatened in our territory? That is why I wrote a book about my resistance, about my childhood, from a child's point of view. I grew up between two worlds. The missionaries came talking about saving souls, saying that our beliefs were bad.
Los misioneros venían hablando sobre salvar los almas. Nuestra creencia es malo. Los petroleros vinieron nuestro.
The oil men came to our territory flying in helicopters, promising development. They did a lot of damage. They destroyed our water. They contaminated our land. They contaminated our people as well by disconnecting us from our knowledge and values. And also, the governments and the big organizations come to offer to say that they're going to build national parks, and at the same time they make things worse and take away our territory. The struggle that we have lived through is very important, so I would like to contextualize it. It is a long story to tell in detail, so for me it is very important. As my father says, "Daughter, the more the people of the world don't know the jungle well, the more they destroy it." So my story and our culture is oral. That is why I transformed this oral story with my husband, Mitch, into writing, so that the world can understand how we indigenous peoples are living, connected with Mother Nature, with much love and with much respect.
Indígena conectada con la madre naturaleza, con mucho amor, con mucho respeto. Entonces, esa historia es una resiliencia, es una resistencia.
So this is a story of resilience, of resistance, so that the people of the world can know the true story of the indigenous peoples, of all the indigenous peoples who are living a great, gigantic threat, because this system from here reaches our territory day after day after day. So this message is very important. You can read the book, you can touch and open your hearts and make a real commitment to take action. What am I trying to say with this? The communities and the civil society here, you have to open your hearts and condemn that the companies do not continue to invest in what harms our territory, in what exterminates our territory, our knowledge, our culture. So from here, we have to begin to re-educate ourselves, not to consume what destroys our health, and to reconnect with Mother Nature, to reconnect spiritually, to love Mother Nature again, and to heal ourselves. That is what's important.
Nosotros mismos. Eso es la importancia.
I wanted to go back to what happened last year, Namonte, in Ecuador, in the rainforest. On August 20th, 2023, Ecuador voted to halt all future oil drilling in Yasuni National Park. Then Daniel Noboa won the presidency in October, about a year ago, exactly. You were one of the leaders of this fight to protect Yasuni. Describe the Yasuni National Park, the movement you led, and then Daniel Noboa's changing position.
Pues el Yasunín es territorio ancestral de Waurani y ese parte.
Well, the Yasuni is an ancestral Waurani territory and is one of the world's most biodiverse areas. It gives us oxygen to the planet. To achieve this, the indigenous peoples united with all the peoples and then with activists, filmmakers, students. We made the people of the cities, of all the civil society, understand the importance and also see that throughout the oil exploitation in the territory in Ecuador and all the country, there has been no development. There has been more corruption, more problems, more death. So it was very evident. And the societies realized that it was very important to protect, to conserve the territory for the future. So this was also the work that we campaigned for.
Era el trabajo también que hicimos campaña, encabecé también en las organizaciones Amazon Frontline y otras organizaciones en que hicimos.
I also headed Amazon Frontlines, and with other organizations, we made a film so that people could see the Yasuni rainforest and its importance not only for the Waurani people, but for all the peoples of the planet. Then we achieved this victory in the referendum in Ecuador. In the whole country, we convinced them, and they voted yes to life. That was a powerful sign that I felt, that the people in the cities opened their conscience and opened their hearts and saw what was important was life. So we won. But the president has not met the standards. He should already begin to close and dismantle. And we, the indigenous peoples, have had enough.
Y desmantelar, y nosotros los pueblos indígenas no hemos cansado.
Let me interrupt for 1 minute. So you passed the law first, and this took enormous mobilizing of people across Ecuador. What was the position that Noboa as candidate took after this law was passed? Clearly so popular that in order for him to win the presidency, he had to support the bill. Is that right?
Yes. During the campaign, Noboa said that he was going to respect the Yasuni. But now that he has been elected, he is not respecting it. I would say the politicians, not only Noboa, from my experience, from what I have seen in the presidents, they take office, they make promises, beautiful words and campaigns, but when they are already elected, they do not act with courage and bravery and don't think of asserting the right of the indigenous peoples, the right to nature. Never. That is why the indigenous peoples are united, ready to confront them. Our territory is our home. It is a living space for the future and for the people of the planet, and our territory will not be for sale.
De venta.
So the way Noboa is framing it now is they need money to fight drug lords and drug trafficking in Ecuador. And the way to get that money is to bring in foreign companies and to extract more resources to save the country. Your response to that, Namonte?
Pues yo pienso que la economía dice, pero un día el...
Well, he talks about the economy, but one day the oil is going to run out. It is not going to be sustaining the future. President Noboa has to care. He has to think about the future. He has to give opportunities. He should be a more important leader in the world that can change and leave the oil in the ground and see the alternative. Not the mentality of consumerism, but another form of mentality. A change, to see what can be generated in the future, and to see that the indigenous peoples are respected, that Mother Nature is respected to stop climate change for the world. But many times the leaders never think that. They just want money now, and there is no solution. That is not the solution for future generations, because Noboa has a great opportunity, because he is a young president who could change the world.
You're here in the midst of a presidential election in the United States, perhaps the most important. You've got the main parties, the Democrats versus the Republicans. On the issue of immigration, they vie with each other, or you might almost say agree on many points, is shutting down the border to immigrants coming from Mexico and south from there, including Ecuador. Can you make a direct link between thousands of Ecuadorians and people overall in the Amazon fleeing their land, their countries, because of environmental destruction, because of poverty, because of violence?
I think that this has happened a lot in the last few years because the climate crisis in general in the world is very serious, and we must not let that happen. We have to awaken the conscience of the people of the city. Why are people not happy? People are fleeing their countries because it not only affects Ecuador, because this system of consumption here provokes armed conflicts. It provokes oil extraction because the wider world needs that to plunder. They need money. That is why we have to look, to balance, to reconnect, to feel again the peace that we want in the society. Because Mother Earth is suffering these phenomena that affects all of us, and people are not realizing it. The politicians with the great power they have are not realizing it because they are disconnected. They are not connected with the earth. They are not connected with their spirituality. They don't have love. They don't have love at all.
No tiene para nada amor. Entonces eso, la gente, la sociedad, tenemos que juntar.
So people, society, we have to get together, promote, socialize, unite, so we can solve it. We are not going to wait for the government to make the decision in our home. We are not going to allow the government to govern our blood, our territory. So the responsibility is for all of us. That is what I'm trying to say. The responsibility is not for the indigenous peoples. Why do we have to live in our territory daily under threat, day after day?
Día y día. Porque ese sistema no para.
Because the system does not stop. This mentality does not change. This heart does not touch deeply.
Entonces, eso es el trabajo.
So the work is here, in the big cities. I try to say as an indigenous woman, I see that. As an indigenous woman, I am seeing that the problem is not in the indigenous territory. The problem is here, this system. And all of us have to stop the system. That is the message. As long as we do not know life, which is the most important thing, we are going to destroy it. Mother Earth is not waiting for us to save her. Mother Earth is waiting for us to respect her, to love her again, to heal her again. That is the society we have to heal.
Que volvamos a amar, que volvamos a sanar. Esa es la sociedad que tenemos que sanar.
Mitch Anderson, you have worked on this issue for years. In the early 2000s, you were with Amazon Watch. You've spent a lot of time since then, well over 15 years, in the Amazon. You, together with your partner, Namonte, have founded Amazon Frontlines. But as you come back up into the United States, to your home country, do you see any progress being made? And also, as a person who can see the Amazon from here, from where your family and community was to where you are living now, with your children, with your new community, what do you feel is the biggest misunderstanding we have of the Amazon?
Yeah, so I've been living in the Amazon with Namonte and her people for the last 15 years. Most of the oil that's produced in the Amazon destroys the rivers and the forest, and then is shipped up to California to be refined in California, and then is distributed to gas stations around the country and made into jet fuel. I don't think that people in the United States truly understand that and truly understand what Namonte's saying about our consumption patterns and our systemic addiction to oil and how it is devastating indigenous cultures, their life ways, and also their territories. You know, in the 1960s, American oil companies discovered oil in the Ecuadorian Amazon and the Peruvian Amazon, made deliberate decisions to dump barrels of oil into the rivers, millions of gallons of oil and wastewater in order to save money, and created this massive public health crisis. For the Ecuadorian government at the time, they thought that this was going to be their salvation. It was going to take them out of subdevelopment and poverty. But what it's created over the last 60 years is disparities economically, inequalities, corruption, massive environmental contamination, poverty. I think that, you know, what Namonte, her people, youth climate activists in Ecuador have done is they've shown the Ecuadorian people, they've told stories to the Ecuadorian people, they've helped wake up consciousness and say, look, 60, 70 years of oil development and look where we're at right now. We need to keep the oil in the ground. We need to protect the most biodiverse forests in the world. We need to wake up our imagination, think about economic alternatives, think about regeneration. And, you know, the win in the Yasuni in the most biodiverse forest in the world is that. It's this model of climate democracy that is an inspiration for the entire world. And, you know, at Amazon Frontlines with Namonte, we're a collective of Western activists and indigenous leaders that are looking to stop the oil industry, the mining industry, the loggers, not let them into the forest, create permanent protection zones, but also work with indigenous communities to get their land back. Because essentially, indigenous communities are the ancestral owners of nearly half the remaining standing forest in the Amazon. They are only 5% of the world's population, but protect 80% of the biodiversity on our planet. Indigenous peoples are the owners of 40% of the intact ecosystems worldwide. And so what we've seen here at Climate Week is civil societies waking up. Indigenous peoples are leading the marches. Indigenous peoples are sharing their stories, sharing their positions, amplifying their values. But what we're seeing is that politicians, world leaders, companies are still really committed to sucking the last drops of oil out of the forests, out of the oceans, and we can't afford that.
Namonte, take us on this profound journey you take us on in your book, We Will Be Jaguars. Tell us first about where you were born in Ecuador, in the Amazon, one of the last places contacted by missionaries. You've said the authors of our destruction are the very ones who preach our salvation. But start off by talking about your face and the images on your face that, for our radio audience, it is a hue of red across your eyes from temple to temple, and what that means, and also your headdress.
Pues yo, de niña, crecí de dos.
As a child, I grew up in two worlds, very pretty, beautiful. The feeling as a child of seeing the evangelicals flying around bringing us the word of Jesus, and also seeing our grandparents around us, healing us with plants. So I was a very curious girl. I wanted to discover. I wanted to understand who were these people, the white people, and the grandparents. Who are they? So I grew up in a very nice, very beautiful time, because in our territory we still lived collectively at that time. Our chakra, our river, our way of living was free in a big space. Our culture is the achote. On the forehead, we paint our eyes to protect from bad energy, and also beauty for the women, who can paint that part of the face and show the identity of our origin as Waurani women.
Corona significa este es ave guacamayo. Para nosotros, este ave muy sagrado.
The crown is from the feathers of the macaw bird, and for us, the bird is very sacred. And they were very valuable for our ancestors, and we still believe that. Macaws fly, they sit in a tree and start to communicate amongst themselves, and then they plan where they're going to fly to look for food. So when you wear the crown, it represents a woman leader, and that you're united with your family to protect your home and your communities. And the necklace means that you are a leader. It represents power, the power of women. That's our culture. This seed is called pentomo. There are many of these plants in the jungle, and for us, it protects us from bad energy and also gives us good vibes, good energy. And when you go to a ceremony and when you go to meetings, you wear this. So in our culture, it's like 50 or 60 years since we've had contact with the world, with the outside world. And of course, there is a new generation. And we think about how to describe our knowledge, and our grandparents are already dying. So we have to teach our own culture to the young people, to young leaders, so that they continue to protect their territory and having their own language. And so it's very important for us to go back to have our own education system, our own traditional education, and at the same time, learn about the outside education system and learn about how to use this knowledge to protect our territory so there's still forests. And if the forest is healthy, we're going to be healthy. But if the forest is sick and is contaminated, then we're going to start to get sick. And we are going to disconnect ourselves from our knowledge, our language, and we are going to lose everything, as has happened to other peoples who have been disappearing for 500 years. And we do not want our territory and our life to disappear. We want to continue being Waurani with a knowledge of two worlds, valuing our principles.
Namonte Nankimo, an indigenous leader from the Waurani Nation in the Amazon rainforest in Ecuador. Her new book is titled We Will Be Jaguars, A Memoir of My People. She wrote it with her partner, Mitch Anderson. Together, they founded the group Amazon Frontlines. And that does it for this holiday special. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Sharif Abdelkaddous, Messiah Rhodes, Nermin Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tammy Warrenoff, Sharina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Tamarie Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, and Hannah Elias. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, Dennis McCormick, Maddie Ali, Anna Osbeck, Emily Anderson, and Buffy St. Marie Hernandez. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!
Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.